Blog Talk Radio.
The Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael E. Cannon, and thank God that we're able to be here just one more time. The blessing to be able to say what the Word of God says. That is to be able to declare the Word of the Lord. Amen. Everybody don't know who Jesus is. And so thank God we know who He is. Amen. He is the One. Amen. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the one God, amen, that was back there in the beginning. And as James said, there is one God. And Apostle Paul said, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. And James says, thou believest that there is one God, thou do as well. The devils also believe and tremble. So thank God that we're able to come to you one more time. Thank God for Blog Talk Radio. Thank God for all of our Blog Talk friends, all of our Twitter followers and listeners, and also all of our Facebook followers and listeners. It's a blessing, amen, to be able to hear what thus saith the Lord. That is according to the Word of the Lord. We know that the Bible is truth when it's rightly divided. So all of us, not my word, but it's God's word, amen, knowing that the Word of God is going to abide, as Peter said, which liveth and abideth forever, talking about God's word. So it's not about us, amen. We're the flower that is fading away, amen. We're knowing that we are flesh, and Jesus said it is the Spirit that quickeneth, or that makes alive. And He says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So we have to have God's word. Amen. There's nothing like the word of the Lord. So for this reason, we do come to you knowing that time is short, knowing that the day of redemption is near. Like a song says, men's hearts are failing for fear. Song goes on to say, be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. The day of redemption is near. So thank God for His word. And so it's nothing like being able to get into the word, what thus saith the word. So the important one is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the one that's going to descend with the shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God simultaneously. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Apostle Paul goes on to say, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So we want to make sure that we give you our guest call-in number. Should you desire to call in, you can call in to our show, 646-716-6566. That is 646-716-6566. That is our guest call-in number, should you desire to call in to the show. So we have been going through the Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and we don't have too much more to go. We would be finished with the second letter, which is a confirmation, and the rest of the letter to the church at Corinth. And so today, we're going to be talking about false teachers and false apostles. So these things got to be addressed, and that is according to the scriptures. So as we endeavor to get into our lesson, so we've been talking in the 11th chapter of the second book of Corinthians. So we had been talking about other things in the 10th chapter, in the 9th chapter, and what he was talking about, things that he was talking about the church at Macedonia and what he had done and how he was bountiful, how they were toward him, and talking about sowing and reaping and about giving and in the 9th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And the key scripture, one key scripture, so 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So he's talking about money, as people would take and say, so see, that they got out of the 55th chapter of Isaiah, also out of the 13th chapter of Matthew. And both of those cases, he's not talking about money in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, and he's not talking about money in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, but he's talking about literal seed. And seed, and he's using it, analogy about his word, about the seed is the word, and the good man sowing the good seed, and about the tares and also the wheat he's talking about there in the 13th chapter of Matthew, but also in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, he's talking about the rain and the snow coming down from heaven, that it may give make it the earth to bring forth and to bud the water, the snow, and the water, which is the self same thing, just in two different forms, that it may make it the earth to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Seed, literal seed to farmers to plant. And you grow a wheat, and you grow barley, and you grow, can't think of that other one, that they grow a lot, but they grow, can't even think of the one that they grow, but they grow wheat, and the another one that, the corn, there's another one that grow. But when you grow, then you when you plant the seed, and the seed grows, then you're going to give, you're going to have bread for the eater to eat, literal bread, which you got to have to eat to maintain your fleshly body. So that's when he goes on to say, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it's going to accomplish the things which I sent it, and prosper that which I please, saith the Lord. So I don't know how people pick that up and say, he gives seed to the source, money. And that's not what that's talking about at all. That is literally talking about seed. So, and then in the 10th chapter, he's talking about how he came in the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, and how he went on to talk about our weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds and casting down imaginations, bringing every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So all these things he's letting the Corinthian church know and to realize that we're not glorying of ourselves, but we're glorying in the Lord. So now that brings us, and then so he talks about the subtlety of Satan and all in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians and things that he done to help other churches, and then he's talking about he wasn't a whit behind in the very chooses of apostles. Because he's always humbling himself. And that was what, another thing I'm going to say right quick in the book of Micah, I believe, Micah 3 and 8, about the things that's important that we walk humbly with the Lord our God. I'm not quoting the whole thing. That's so important. So that's to let us know we got to let him increase and we decrease.
Mm-hmm.
So we are just messengers to bring the word of the Lord. So that comes on down to our lesson on the day when we're going to talk about what we said in here, false teachers and false apostles. And our tag being deceivers, what we want to bring out about deceivers, how they're deceitful, they're false, and they transform themselves into angels of light. And on that note, I'm going to bring in, like I said, two or three of us. I have coworkers that we work together in the gospel, and I thank God for my friend and brother in the Lord and the person of Elder Ryan Fountain. Like I've said in times past, he is literally an educator. He has a bachelor's degree, and he's also our historian. And we're going to bring him in right now, Elder Ryan Fountain.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Elder Cannon, for the introduction. I can truly say that you are my friend also. I was just thinking today before I came that this radio broadcast is really, dare I say, fun in the gospel.
Yes.
We know that anybody that is a minister in Christ can bear witness that it can sometimes be a burden dealing with people. That some people are hard to deal with,
yeah.
And that you can be weighed down in the gospel. Not to say that the gospel is something to be burdensome or to be shameful, but there can be hard times. That's why Paul tells Timothy to preach in season and out of season.
Yeah.
That you're not always going to be at a high point in your ministry, but I can say that this radio broadcast, you don't have to necessarily deal with specific problems of people that you know or that you may have to deal with, but this is just talking about the pure word of God, and this is fun. I enjoy talking about the word. I enjoy hearing about the word. I enjoy listening as well as speaking about it. It is an honor that he brings me in every week. I do enjoy it. On that note, we will continue on talking about the word and go on into, we are in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, and we are talking about false ministers. Now, not everybody that claims to be a minister of Christ is indeed a minister of Christ. This is what Paul is trying to get at right here.
Yes.
That not everybody that says they're of Christ is of Christ and stands for what Christ established on this earth, what we call the church. There are some ministers that are out for their own gain. There are some ministers that are out for their own empowerment. There's some that are looking for to make a name for themselves,
yeah.
And they are proud and they are haughty in spirit, so to speak. So this is what he's trying to tell them, that if they're not preaching the gospel that was preached unto them by him, they are not of Christ. And we talked about was it a couple weeks ago or last week where we talked about Paul and his credentials, that he had to prove himself unto the apostles to show that he was indeed an apostle. He was indeed an apostle called by God and indeed apostle that was taught by Christ. He spent 3 years in Arabia and he was taught by Christ himself. And he gave him revelation through the scriptures. So Paul was established and Paul was confirmed to be what he said he was. Now there were those that are not what they say they are, and they have to be called out and shown to be false workers. If we quickly turn to the book of the Revelation, now this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. I know many times people say revelations, It's not revelations, it's the revelation.
Yeah.
It's the revealing of Christ, not only unto the church. He does that in the second and third chapter. He reveals himself to be both Father and Son, which we already know, but he reveals himself as the Creator to the entire world and shows himself who he was and who he spoke to be, and culminates that into the second coming and then into the millennial reign and then on into the final judgment. We are going to turn to the second chapter of Revelation, and he is revealing himself unto the first church age, the church age of Ephesus. And this is the second and third chapter, again, was talking to the seven churches of Asia, and these can be broken down into seven church ages that have gone from the time of his resurrection unto the time, or the resurrection and coming back on the 50th day of Pentecost unto this very day. We are now in the age of Laodicea, a church that knoweth not whether it's hot or cold, but rather it's lukewarm. So he is spewing a lot of what worship is going up and is rejecting it. But this church in Ephesus, this is a church of eyewitnesses. These are where the apostles dwelt. This is the age in which they dwelt, and they established the churches throughout Asia Minor and throughout the world, going on down into Africa and Ethiopia, and through legend going on up into Eastern Europe and Western Europe also, as well as in the Middle East, on into places like India. But looking at this, he says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works. Now, we know who held the seven stars in his right hand and walketh in the midst of the golden candlesticks. He just described himself. It was just described within the first chapter. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is talking. If you have a red letter Bible, both of these chapters are all in red letters. So we know that this is Jesus Christ speaking. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, which say they are the sent ones of God, which say they are the chosen ones of God, because God, Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, chose 70 disciples, and after that he chose 12 disciples to be chief, or to be the ones that were to be closest to him.
Yeah.
There were 12 of them, that, as described in the four Gospels. Out of those 12, there was another three that were what we know as the inner circle, the ones that had the most intimate knowledge. Now, all 12 of them had intimate knowledge of who Jesus Christ was, but these three had privy into some of the deep, the deeper things.
Yeah.
That namely being Peter, James, and John. They saw the transfiguration. They went with him to Gethsemane and watched him pray, and numerous other things. But so these are the ones. They were the ones that were living within this church age, and they could not bear those who said they were the sent ones, but they knew they were not, because they were not with them from the beginning, or they were not teaching what the Lord taught them from the beginning. So, John puts it this way, that they may have came out from among us, but they never were of us.
Yeah.
So even if they were with them from the beginning, they never really were of them, because they did not truly believe what he was teaching unto them, and they changed what was being taught and changed it to their own gain. there's many warnings of these false teachers or false apostles, false prophets, within the book of 1 John, within the book of 2 Peter, 2 Timothy, and so forth. So,
yeah. Could I say something?
Sure.
Since you said that, yeah. So that what he's just talking about, they went out from us in 1 John 2 and 19, but they were not all of us. For that if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he's saying. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ?
Yeah.
He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledged the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father.
Amen. And that's a confirmation that the Son was in the Father as well as the Father in the Son, and that they are one and the same. They are not two separate entities. They are not two separate persons or two distinct persons within a Godhead or a Trinity, but rather they are one entity. That spirit was inside a body, and that body died upon a cross and then sent his spirit back down and now dwells within his believers.
Yes. And he is the head of the church, which is his body.
Amen. So these men were trying to change the message and trying to change what the Spirit was trying to teach unto the people. So it says that you cannot bear them which are evil, and that was one of the main fights for all the apostles, especially towards the end of their lives. Even Paul had to deal with it at the beginning of his ministry. There was a sorcerer named Elymas who was, they were calling Bar Jesus. Now, the prefix Bar in front of a name in the Hebrew and Greek culture, or the Hebrew culture, was to say the son of. Simon or Peter was Bar Jonas. That means he was the son of Jonas. So this man was saying that he was the son of Jesus, he was the son of God, amen?
Mm-hmm.
And he was claiming himself to be a man of God. He was claiming himself to be that which was anointed by God, but he definitely was not that. He was a sorcerer, he was a liar, and he was deceiving Sergius Paulus, who was the chief consul of the city or on the island Cyprus, I believe they were on. I'm drawing a blank right there, but they were on that island, and he had to rebuke that man and cause blindness to fall upon him.
Mm-hmm.
So throughout their ministry, they had to fight against false doctrine. They had to fight against false teachers. They had to fight against false preachers. And they said, you cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. How do you find them liars? Well, all the apostles had the understanding of the scriptures. They understood the scriptures. Let's go back. I know we've looked at this scripture before. Let's go back to the book of Luke. Now, this is a requirement for every apostle. This is a special gift that he gave unto this ministry. In Luke, the 24th chapter, and it says, in the 44th verse, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. This is Jesus speaking unto the 11 before his ascension. Then he opened their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. What scriptures is he talking about? The Old Testament scriptures.
Yes.
The New Testament scriptures weren't in existence at this time. But he gave them the understanding of the Old Testament and all the types and shadows that were linking back unto him, he showed them. And he gave them an understanding of how to rightly divide the word and how to preach him unto the people.
Yeah.
So they were able to try them according to the scriptures, and if they could not rightly divide the scriptures, if they could not properly show where Christ was within the Old Testament and properly show the different types and shadows and show the different signs, they were, who were calling themselves apostles, weren't truly apostles because they didn't really have the teaching of Jesus Christ. So they weren't really sent of Christ. They weren't really chosen of Christ. They weren't really called of Christ.
Right, and they were as the writer said in the book of Revelation, found liars.
Mm-hmm. So they are found liars. That means they have been tried and they have been convicted of being a liar and being not a true apostle.
Yeah.
So now, as we look back into the book of 2 Corinthians, 11th chapter, he talks about how he was chargeable to no man for that which was lacking unto me, Macedonia supplied. So he was not fleecing the people, but rather he was taking donations from other places. He wasn't just relying on one group of people, and he wasn't necessarily relying on people because he was still a tent maker by trade. So as we go into the 10th verse, it says, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. So he boasts of them. He says later on in the book that he became a fool for them in boasting.
Yeah.
He would boast of them that because he was the, as he called it, the seal of his apostleship. Sorry.
Yeah,
they were the seal because he founded them, he birthed them through his ministry. And it says, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, God knows that he loved this church,
yeah,
that this was one of his most precious churches. But what I do, that will I do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So, what he's talking about is that the people that come in after him that try to show themselves to be just as Paul, but not really what Paul was bringing to the table, didn't have what Paul was bringing to the table,
right.
He would show that they were deceitful workers and false apostles. And it says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, I think this is a very important scripture to note, that any religion that is started off of an angel and his message is a very dangerous message to follow after.
Yeah.
Because it says right here that Satan, the accuser of the brethren, the enemy of God, will show himself to be an angel of light. That means he can show himself to be a righteous angel. He can show himself to be just as Michael or just as Gabriel.
Yes.
Hint, hint. Anybody that shows themselves to be an angel of light isn't necessarily an angel. Now, you have to be careful with people that say they see angels, because not all angels are good angels.
Right.
But although they can show themselves to be angels, their works will bear record of who they really are.
Yeah.
Now, that brings us to, there's a couple of religions just off the top of my head that have been started by angels.
Yes.
Or had messages brought to their founders by angels, not by God.
Yes.
Now, there were in times past, the ministry of angels was used by God to preach unto men. And in time future, the angels will preach the gospel, the everlasting gospel,
yes,
unto men in the book of Revelation. That's time future.
Yes.
Time present, we know that Jesus Christ is the focal point of the message.
Yeah.
So if they're not preaching Jesus Christ and him being the Son of God, him being God manifested in the flesh, they are not preaching what God sent in this day.
Yeah.
In times past, he spake to the fathers by the prophets. He spake to the prophets by the angels. But in this day, he speaks unto men by his dear Son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
How does he speak to his to the people by his Son? Through his preachers, through his anointed word, through his anointed ministers. Just off the top of my head, there's a religion known as the Church of the Latter-day Saints.
Yeah.
They had their message delivered to Joseph Smith by the angel Moroni up in the mountains of the Catskills. Or maybe another mountain range, I can't really remember at this point in time, but he delivered unto them a golden book and two rocks, which he called the Urim and the Thummim. We know that is not true, and no one ever really saw those books save Joseph Smith himself. He never really readily showed that to anybody. And when they finally said, you need to show us these, the angel came the night before and took them. So there's a lot of holes in the origin of that religion.
Yeah.
And you have to wonder if that gospel was not to come by angels. I believe it says that in Galatians, that you should be wary of a gospel preached by an angel.
Right, that we are an angel from heaven.
Yeah.
Preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And he goes on to say the same thing again. And we've been taught, even out of the book of Isaiah, to pay very close attention to repetition. When God says something more than once.
And also, there's another religion, Islam. The prophet Muhammad believed that he got a visitation a few times. I don't know how many times, by the angel Gabriel. Now, Gabriel showed himself, counting in Muhammad. If Muhammad's account is true, Gabriel showed himself to two other people. He showed himself, three other people. He showed himself unto Daniel. He showed himself unto Joseph and unto Mary.
Yeah.
All of those accounts in which Gabriel showed that Jesus Christ was coming and that God's people were to be taken care of, and he showed, I believe that was at the point where he showed Daniel 70 weeks and showed him the fate of the people.
Yeah.
All of those things have come to pass, except for the 70th week of Daniel, which is yet future.
Yeah.
But everything else has come to pass. So now somebody has a lying Gabriel somewhere, because if the Gabriel's prophecy to show that Jesus Christ was coming was true, then, and he showed himself to Muhammad and said that they got it wrong and that you are to show your people this word, that's all. Somebody's got conflicting stories here. So we know that everything that the angel Gabriel that showed himself in the Bible, that showed himself in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, and in the book of Daniel, showed himself to be true.
Yeah.
And everything that he spoke unto them came to pass.
Yeah.
So we know that truth will
substantiate truth.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And will back itself up.
Yeah. And God is not the author of confusion.
Yes.
So God, he's not speaking out of two sides of his mouth. So just like we say, Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Galatians 1 and 8, that we are an angel from heaven. This is where this angel supposedly came from. Preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached already unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. So you know what I say to Islam, to that so-called angel, the so-called church of Jesus Christ, of the Latter-day Saints, they're cursed.
Because
that's not, God is not the author of confusion. And so that's just a lie that popped up. All these different people coming up with all this stuff, that is a lie out of hell.
And when you look at the origins of the religion, you see the holes and the inaccuracies.
Yes.
And you will start to see that it is not of the truth, because the truth bears witness of itself.
Yes, and then the main focal point, these people have come to our door, they're riding bicycles and carrying on, but the only thing that I got out of it, and I didn't even really, before I really knew what was going on, they're talking about this man, Joseph Smith, and they're talking about do like he did. He sought God for wisdom. If he had sought God for wisdom, he would have got into God. He would have saw what the scriptures said, and he would have went by the scriptures, not by some demon, some devil from hell, an angel of light, a minister from hell, deceiving him, and he's going to wind up getting cast into the lake of fire because God's word, God's not speaking out of two sides of his mouth.
Amen.
But his words already have been substantiated.
And we have to know that the devil still has access into the heavens. He will have access until the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation,
yes,
which is in the midst of the tribulation period,
yes,
when there's a war in heaven, in the heavens, with Michael and his angels,
yes,
and the devil and his angels, and Satan and his angels. So, but Satan, until that time, still has access. How do you think he became before God and asked of his servant Job? He was walking to and fro on the earth. God wasn't dwelling in the earth. He was dwelling in heaven. How did Satan come before him? He wasn't still in the earth because he just said, I came from walking to and fro within the earth.
Yes.
He was in heaven. He had access unto heaven.
Yes.
God also sent from his throne, he sent an evil spirit who would go and vex Saul. And the evil spirit said, I will go. So the evil angels still have access unto heaven, and they will have access unto heaven until the 12th chapter of the book of the Revelation, when they are expelled, and they will turn their fury unto the woman and the woman, and will chase her into the wilderness. That woman is Israel, and they will chase her into Israel's stronghold, which is believed to be Petra. But moving on, we know that Satan himself is transformed into an angel of life, into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness,
yes,
whose end shall be according to their works. Now, somebody can show themselves to be a good person through an outwardly appearance. They may give unto charities. They may give unto different endowments and show themselves to be friendly unto people, but really deep down they are evil.
Yeah.
And they are doing evil works and have evil thoughts and have evil plans to carry out. We don't want to constantly bash on somebody, but
no lies of the truth.
The minister, Eddie Long, I'm going to call his name out. He was showing himself to be a righteous man. A lot of people thought highly of him.
Yeah.
But behind closed doors,
yeah,
he had evil intentions on certain boys.
Yeah.
That's the facts that have come out through investigative journalism and through his own it's lack of refuting that claim. And if somebody calls a lie on you,
right,
you're going to call that lie out and say that they're a liar. But he never called those young brothers liars. But
he said he's going to fight it, but that just was in the public. Yeah.
So, and he turned around and settled with them, and they were no longer allowed to talk about it anymore.
Right.
The man never openly repented unto anybody. but he had showed himself righteous, but had been found unrighteous. He had been found evil. He had been found a deceiver, and had been found a man that was against what Christ stood for, what Christ stands for. I'm sorry. Not only did he stand for it in past times, he's still standing for it because God never changed.
Exactly. So he's been found to be a hypocrite. And that's what he said in the 23rd chapter of Matthew. You hypocrites, he said, you can't, in other words, they can't miss hell. So that's what God doesn't like. And then we, what six things the Lord hates, Proverbs 6 and 16, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
So you read those things and you see what he hates. And then nowadays, the mind game, even some folks that have question marks all around them, somebody can accuse you and call you whatever they want to. But the question is that we have to ask ourselves, and that is it true?
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, what people are doing when they're accused of something, they get the silent treatment.
Mm-hmm.
They'll fight. If it's a lie, they'll fight a lie. But isn't that something, that they don't fight the truth? So they've been found. So you're living a double life, like that one preacher, that and he was on the Oprah Winfrey show. His name was Ted. I can't remember his last name. This is all open. So he said he wasn't a homosexual, but so why did he mess with another man and he got a wife? I mean, that's crazy. I don't want no man. I got a wife. That's foolishness. That's double-minded, as James said. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you're either right or you're wrong.
Amen.
And ain't no such, and this so-called down low, these down low brothers that are married, ain't no down low. You're a dirty homosexual is what you are. You're living a double life. You're either right or you're not right. So that's why the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, let him that is filthy be filthy still. Him that is holy be holy still. So you can't have it both ways. You're either clean or you're not clean.
Mm-hmm.
But not only that, God loved you so much that he made provisions. That if you would confess your sins and forsake them, he would have mercy. So that's what we were talking about in Micah 6 and 8. So we walk humbly with the Lord our God. You mess up, come clean, not cover it over. So that's what folks are doing. They are covering it over. And even also some of those that are in their camp or belonging to their group, they get this silent treatment where they don't say nothing. No, if you said that I was a homosexual, I'm fighting it. I'm going to tell you you're a liar. I'm not scared. Why are you scared if it's a lie? People, why? That's the big question. Why are you scared to fight a lie? You can call me whatever you want. I know of one of our bishops who has gone on to be with the Lord. Some woman tried to accuse him. She put her dress over her head in his office, and she had nothing on. And so he refused her, just like Joseph did Potiphar's wife down in that day. And so you know what she did? Because he refused her, she said he was a homosexual. So by her saying he was a homosexual, that don't make him a homosexual. She's just mad because he didn't do nothing to her.
Mm-hmm.
What that was.
Amen.
And I mean, I heard him say it.
So, and to bring in another scripture that we've already talked about, Matthew 7 and 22.
Yeah.
There are those that think of themselves as ministers of righteousness, and deep down they know that they're not ministers of righteousness. They know that they're not right, but they know that there's gain in deceiving people and making them believe that they're following after God when really they're following after these men.
Right.
And there's many that are earnest in heart that say, many, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and thy name have cast out devils and done wonderful works? And he says, then I'll profess unto you that I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Yeah.
These people that are working iniquity are going to be cast off. Their end is going to be according to their work.
Yeah.
And it's not according to all the good works that they do. Those good works are far outweighed by the evil works and the evil deeds that have done, especially if you have not had your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, and then so you're not, just like Elder Fountain been going through, giving the history of the first book of the Corinthians, and when Apostle Paul says something, He says, we are workers together with Christ.
Yes.
You can't be working with him if you haven't done what he said.
Yes.
You can't. I can't work for GM if I never got hired.
Amen.
I got to come through the door the right way.
Amen. And he doesn't owe you anything. The CEO of GM does not owe you anything if you sneak into the plant and do the job
and are
working on the line. At the end of the day, they don't owe you anything.
No.
In fact, they're probably going to kick you out and maybe press charges
right.
on you because you're on their property illegally.
Yeah. And that's the same way what it is. People are picking it up and saying, just confess him in the book of Romans. And when you can't confess what you don't have, those were people, like we always try to let you all know, that's the children's bread. Those letters were written to people who were already saved.
Yes.
You got to go back to the Gospels, which were under the law, and the fulfillment of that is in the Acts of the Apostles. You can't just do a leap over the book of Acts and land in Romans. No, it don't work like that.
Mm-hmm. And there's a saying, there's those that accept Christ, wait a minute, there are those that you can accept Christ but never receive Christ.
Right.
So there's a lot of those that say they have accepted Christ in their life. That's good and well, but
right.
you can accept anything in your life. You
right.
can accept that I accept that I have $1 million coming
right.
to me,
but
do
you
ever
receive
it?
Exactly.
There's a famous preacher in within our ranks, Minister Johnny James. He told us of a story where he went down, I believe it was to Florida or somewhere, and he preached the message, and the guy was sitting on the front row and came up to him after the service. He was I believe he was a drug dealer of some sort, and he said that I'm going to write you a check for $5,000, and I'm going to send it into the mail. I'm just paraphrasing on the story because I was not there. I was not part of it. This is just something that was retold unto me.
Yeah.
He said, I will send you some money back in Michigan. I don't have it on me right now. I'll write you a check and have my secretary send it unto you. And Johnny James said, okay, brother, I accept it.
Yes.
And then got back to Michigan, and he said, I'm still waiting on that.
Right, however long that was.
I've never received it.
Yeah, I heard
so you could accept Christ but never receive Christ.
Right.
I think we can move on.
Just want to say one other thing. So the question being to whoever you are, those of you that are listening, and you might know somebody that calls themselves an apostle.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have a big question mark. Why? If you really know about an apostle, when you read God's word and the job that they did, and they were an eyewitness, and they laid the foundation, they wrote the New Testament scriptures, they suffered greatly for the name of Jesus, and also they died a horrible death. And there are no apostles nowadays, so who wants to say that they are apostles?
Mm-hmm.
That why would you want to say that? You know what? I'm glad I didn't have to go through what they went through. And I'm not one now. And the persecution that we receive pretty much nowadays is mostly just psychological. It's mental. We're not getting tortured. I know of one of our bishops who's going on to be with the Lord. He literally got branded when he got saved. He got tortured.
I've heard of stories where, and this is 20th century, that they got tarred and feathered and had to walk through town and they've been persecuted in many ways.
Yeah.
But now that we don't have to go through those types of things, through civil liberties and through that. But the persecution again has changed, as Elder Michael Cannon said, that we are going through a psychological persecution, and deception is one of the main things that we are being persecuted with in this day and age.
Yeah, and then I'm thinking back now, even during, because I was born in the early 50s, and the civil rights thing that people went through, so people can have liberties and freedoms and all that they have now. I wouldn't want to go through that, getting dogs sick on you, getting sprayed with hoses. And I mean, that wasn't nothing compared to even what our Lord went through.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Peter didn't want to be crucified up right side up, because he didn't think he was worthy to die that way, but he died in a horrible way, being upside down. So, I mean, to have a badge on you, to give yourself a title, there's something that goes along with that title that people don't really know about. They
Amen.
Just want the prestige or think they're being honored or there's some great one like Simon the Sorcerer because you got that name
Amen.
On you.
So now, there's a clear demarcation or a clear line that is drawn by Paul that shows that through the works, you have to show your works to show
yes.
yourself to be an apostle.
Yes.
And he's clearly, and I'm sure he knew, they knew who he was talking about, and he had dealt with them before, and so he was showing a clear demarcation of these people right here are not speaking the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke to you the truth. I gave you the truth. I built you up in this faith, so you should follow after what I teach. And the people that follow after this teaching. So now he goes on and he says that I have to boast of myself a little bit to show my credentials,
mm-hmm.
to show that I am who I say I am. And I'm doing this, he says, I become a fool. I say again, let no man think of me a fool, if otherwise yet a fool has received me, that I may boast of myself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So now Paul never really liked to talk about himself. He more or less liked to talk about Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm.
And really had given himself wholly over unto Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He called himself the servant of Christ. He called himself the prisoner of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He called himself the chosen of Christ. But he says that I'm going to boast a little bit to show you my credentials and show you that what I have of the Lord, and what they have is of themselves or of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It says, that which I speak not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. So now they want to get in the flesh, I can get in the flesh just like them.
Mm-hmm.
But through me showing that I'm in the flesh shows that I am one that was chosen by God and one that was sent by God through the things that I have had to gone through and through the lineage that I came through
yeah.
to know that I have the knowledge of Christ, I have the wisdom of Christ, I have the understanding of Christ, and that I am an apostle of the Lamb.
Yeah.
It says, for ye suffer fools gladly, seeing ye yourselves are wise. He's speaking this sarcastically unto
mm-hmm.
them. For ye suffer if a man bring you into bondage, if a man devour you, if a man take of you, if a man exalt himself, if a man smite you on the face. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also.
Mm-hmm.
Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. So they call themselves Hebrews. They call themselves the chosen of God. They call themselves the princes of God. They call themselves the seed of Abraham. I'm all of that,
mm-hmm.
Naturally.
Mm-hmm.
He says, are they the ministers of Christ? Well, I'm more of a minister because I know and I've been directly taught by the Lord. So if they call themselves ministers of Christ, I got to be much more than them because
mm-hmm.
I have more knowledge and I have more wisdom than them.
Mm-hmm.
In labors, I'm more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. So Paul has gone through many persecutions that these guys didn't never have to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have gotten locked up, but Paul has been locked up and Paul has been beaten. Paul was actually stoned and actually went to death. They believe that he died because he went. He said, "I ascended into the third heaven."
Mm-hmm.
When he was, they believe that was referring back to when he was stoned and he had a vision of going into the third heaven and seeing God himself. He said, "I heard things which shall not be uttered."
Mm-hmm.
of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice have I suffered shipwreck, a night and day have I been in the deep. He's been through all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if a Jew was hit with stripes 40 times,
39 save one.
Was he a curse?
Mm-hmm.
So now he got the maximum amount of stripes
mm-hmm.
five times. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils in among false brethren. I've been in all sorts of perils. And in any situation that you may come up with, I've been in it. In weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, and that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So despite all that, he still had to care for all the churches. He still had to watch over them. He still had to feed them whenever they needed to be fed. He had to take care of them. And through all of this, this is quite a testimony, and I don't believe there's anybody in this day and age that has gone through what Paul went through and lived.
Mm-hmm. The 39 stripes, there'll be a controversy between men. They come into judgment, and the judges may judge them. Then they shall testify the righteous and condemn the wicked. And there shall be so, if the wicked man be worthy to be beaten, that the judge shall cause him to lie down and to be beaten before his face, according to his fault, by a certain number. 40 stripes he may be given, and not exceed, lest if he should exceed and beat him above these with many stripes, then thy brother shall seem vile unto thee. So that's back under the law.
Yeah, so he was taken under the law and given the maximum amount of stripes
yes.
without being considered a curse and considered being a vile brethren.
Right, but they had no, they didn't have the right. I can't think of the word. He was accused, in other
mm-hmm.
words. He shouldn't have been beaten.
Yeah.
Because he didn't break the law.
Oh, yeah. He was falsely accused every single time.
Exactly.
And he was taken before judgment seats and never really found guilty.
Mm-hmm.
And one time he was taken into the prison house and he was beaten. And he told him, are you allowed to beat a Roman citizen
mm-hmm.
as you just did? And they were shocked that he was a Roman citizen
right.
and had to get him out of the city quietly
mm-hmm.
and took him out of the back door of the city, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So this is quite a testimony that Paul has gone through, and in all of this he still had to care for all the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor, under Aretas, the king kept the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desirous to apprehend me, and through a window in the basket I was let down by the wall and escaped his hands. This is at the very beginning
yes.
of Paul's ministry.
Yes.
So from the very beginning of Paul's ministry, he has been going through persecutions, and he was telling them that isn't what I'm bringing, and everything that they boast in, I can boast in just the same, but I don't boast in that. I preach the Lord Jesus Christ unto you, and I preach the gospel, and I preach peace, and I preach deliverance unto you, so that you don't have to go through what I have gone through, but you can have life. He said that we are destined unto death, but that ye may have life within our words.
Yeah.
So on that note, and we will pick it up once again in the 12th chapter, and we just have two more chapters after that. Amen?
Yes,
the
amen.
The 12th and 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians.
Yes. Thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. We hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. That's truthministry5525@att.net.
and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. God bless you.